Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen, 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 amen. Oh my. We got a prayer request tonight. Be in prayer for Brother Mike Willingham. Suffered a mild stroke this morning. Pray for his healing and the strength for his family. I think y'all know Brother Mike. Most of y'all, right? Used to go to our church years ago. Just remember him, his daughter getting ready to get married in 2 weeks, and I'm just trust that God will bring him out and allow him the opportunity to walk his daughter. That's just like the devil, ain't it? All these years, and here it is, she right at the door, and the devil strike her dad, and we're just going to trust the Lord that he'll bring him out. Hospital and be able to walk his daughter down the aisle. And we want to remember Mark Tillman in prayer. Y'all would just remember Brother Jack. I'm quite sure now they kind of trying to make their way back home. So just remember them. It's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to give thanks and praise tonight. Just want to thank you for allowing us this opportunity to come and to be in the service of the living God. And Lord, we know it's just the hand of the enemy right at the threshold of his daughter's wedding. The enemy would just strike his body. We ask that you, Lord God, touch Brother Mike and heal his body for your glory and honor. Just a faithful brother we found over the years, the many things that he has gone through, Lord, just traumatic situations over and over again. But just to watch him just hold up the bloodstained banner that gives you courage. So, Father, we ask that you would just be with him, Lord, and just touch his body, Father, that he'd be able to walk his daughter down the aisle, Lord, in 2 weeks. And I want to remember Sister Tillman, Mother Tillman. Lord, you see what she's going through, Father. We know that you're able, oh God, to do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And that we want to just remember the pastor of this house, Lord God, and trust that he's been rested, Father God, and strengthened on this trip, Lord. Just come back, Lord God, just renewed in the flesh, renewed in the spirit. Lord, he could feed his flock that you've given him here, Father. And just pray that you just continue to bless him, Lord. May you just move, Lord, tonight. Lord, help us to just take this little thought that we have, Lord, and say something that will encourage the bride of Jesus Christ in this hour that we live in. And we just be so careful to give your name the praise, glory, and honor for all things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise as we get our Bibles out tonight. Amen. We want to look at Mark chapter 9. It's just good to be here with you once again tonight. And it's our last service for a little while, I guess. We've definitely enjoyed it being here, just standing in for Brother Jack these last few services. And I tell you what, I had a wonderful time on Sunday. Amen. I felt beside myself a little bit. I thought we would have another service when I went home. But I was kind of glad they was like, everybody leaving. I was like, y'all ain't hurting my feeling at all because I'm tired. Amen. But we really appreciate the opportunity to stand in for Brother Jack, and we appreciate his confidence that he have in us, because you can't trust everybody with your pulpit. Folk will make a mess. I found that out. Folks will make a mess, and it's like, oh, Lord, I got to do the first works over again. So we appreciate his confidence tonight. We want to start reading at the 14th verse of Mark chapter 9. We want to talk a little bit on faith tonight. It says, Mark 9, 14 verses says, "And when he had came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him to salute him. And he asked his scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, oh, of a child. And oftentimes he has cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to his word tonight. May be seated. I want to use as a little topic tonight, no limits to faith, and as a little context, unlimited possibilities. I want us to notice something also as we're getting started in this little study tonight, and hopefully it'll help us to really see something also that we can really see ourselves, because we know in studying the scriptures, Jesus had chosen some disciples initially, and the purpose, we know that Jesus chose these disciples because Jesus understood that his earthly ministry was going to he had certain functions and certain things he was going to do in his earthly ministry, and that he knew that eventually he was going to go off the scene. His ministry was going to change into the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and that these would be the individuals that would actually carry the ministry of Christ on. How many can say amen to that? Now I know y'all Wednesday night, y'all, they say it's a little quiet, but I like participation. You know, y'all, I will not allow y'all to be quiet. I like it just a little. It makes me feel better when I'm talking. Especially once I get started, then I don't need it, but when I'm getting started. But, you know, and then if I see you falling asleep a little bit, we ain't going to be here long. But one of the things that I think that for Jesus, you know, giving the disciples power and different things to cast out devils and just to do the different things concerning ministry, right? It's his whole objective. And I think this is key also for us because, and I often tell my church, you know, it, really this is not just about gathering together in a building. You know, but we come together to obtain information to get a greater insight about what we supposed to be doing. right? Now, they probably don't teach everybody this, but there's something that we're supposed to be doing as the body of Christ. And it goes beyond just coming to church and being excited in a building and everything and then going out and doing nothing. You don't see that in the scripture. A fold of redemption was about, and what Christ was hoping that they were comprehending was this: what you see me do, that's what I want you to be doing, right? Because we know in looking at adoption, sonship is all about taking over the Father's business, and I think Jesus, in all of what he was doing in his 3.5 year ministry and having a group of men following him, was that they would catch an understanding about, you know, what they was actually supposed to be doing. Is that right? And we do know that they did accomplish some stuff, and then they came back rejoicing because demons were subject to them and things of that nature, right? But when it came down to this situation here, this young kid, he had some issues, he had some problems, and you know, if the disciples would have had genuine faith, right, really understood who they was and what they were supposed to be doing, right, this wouldn't have been no problem. Right? It wouldn't have been no problem. You say, why you say that? Because I want you to notice is that Jesus lived in a realm of perfect faith. Is that right? You go back to the message of perfect faith and you read it. Jesus lived in a realm of perfect faith. Jesus had a perfect understanding of who he was, what he was supposed to be doing, right? You don't ever in the scriptures see anywhere where Jesus was defeated at any time. It wasn't a situation. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't a problem that Jesus couldn't master. Right? And I think that was the thing when Jesus came and you know, the man was like, you know, my son had a problem. And I brought them to your disciples, right? I brought them to your students. I brought them to the guys that have followed you that, you know, we felt like should have been accomplishing things the way that you would accomplish, right? But what we found out is that, you know, the situation didn't get conquered. My son is no better coming in contact, and that's something to think about. It make you want to preach right here. It's something to think about that when people come in contact with what's supposed to be the true church, Mark 16 in action, they don't leave any better. Then that's definitely got to be something wrong with that picture if we're correctly taught right. Because one of the things that we find is that anytime that the people came in contact, amen, with Christ, their situations changed. No, that, you know, there was no limits, because Christ lived in a world of unlimited possibilities. All things was possible to Christ. He lived in a world of perfect faith. Perfect revelation, perfect understanding. But at the time, right, his disciples didn't. His disciples didn't live. I mean, with Christ, all things was possible. Right? Whether it was a man in the grave, that didn't move him. Is that right? He knew that with his ability, that man could get up. He had the ability to transform and change situations, right? And this is why he kind of rebuked his disciples, like, oh, faithless generation, right? Because if they would have actually had faith, because see, there's no limits to faith. When we get real genuine faith, all things, right? All things is possible, right? See, this is what I believe. That by the word, the promised word that's been given, he wants us to live in a realm, right? In a realm of possibilities, unlimited possibilities, right? Unlimited. See, you watch really successful peoples, that didn't sound right. Lord help us. Somebody pray for me. I was trying to pull that back. Peoples. You know, sometimes you be trying to be, you know, sound educated, edumacated, and then that your Ebonic slip out. Now pray for me. Oh God, where was I? Successful people, right? They don't know any limits. There's no limits, right? What is limits is something that bounds, something that restrains, something that confines. People that actually succeed, they don't see limits. They don't see bounds and boundaries and barriers, right? They don't look at things, you know, obstacles. Most people, the reason why most people are not successful is because, you know, especially we being triune beings, right? And what hangs us up a lot of times is this outside man, right? Hear, taste, see, and all that, right? And then we got that second realm, affection, imagination, conscience, and all of that. Those realms become barriers that we can't get around, right? That limits faith. But successful people, right, they're not bound by what they see, what they hear. They're not bound by how many times they failed at something. If they ever get a vision of something, that is the thing that propels them, right? And that's faith. I was talking to the church when I was preaching on this. I've seen the handicap people that it's a gentleman that was born with no arms and no legs, and he's very successful as a speaker. He didn't allow his limitations to stop him, and married to a beautiful woman, right? And I saw this on the internet. They had him in the audience, sitting in a chair, you know, back there, and when they start talking about him, he start talking initially from the chair back there, and just, you know, I guess he's kind of like a motivational speaker type, and once he start talking, just to elevate the level of faith of the people, he jumped off the chair, because somehow he got this setup, right? He jumped off the chair and climbed on a stage by however he's hooked up there, you know, it was like feet, and he hopped up on the stage to try to show them that, you know, I'm handicapped, but that's, you know, having no arms and no legs is not a limitation, right? He realized, you know what, if I could push past this, right?
then the possibilities are endless, right? But a lot of times people can't push past the limit or the boundaries, right? The things that would, you know, hinder the average person, but an individual with faith, they don't know any limits. They don't know any boundaries. They push beyond that, right? Culture and things of that nature. You find people, especially in this generation that you know, we in, and we've heard a lot of negativity. Well, this person won't. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't like to say the white man and those are limits, right? But then you find people will come over and they don't see that. They push past that, right? They push past what for a lot of people would be limits or boundaries or hindrances. They don't even see that, because faith does not. There's no limits to faith.
Let me just maybe read out the quote or two, right? That's how I thought tonight. No limits to faith, right? And see, if you know, even when the prophet was on the scene, right, people would say they had faith. He said, no, you don't. Not really, you don't. He said, because if you had real genuine faith, you wouldn't even be in the prayer line. See, with real faith, you catch the promise of God in your seat. God said it themselves. I mean, look at what faith done for, you know, the woman with an issue of blood, right? I mean, she had all the resources was gone, but when real faith struck, she was like, look, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Something that never had been done, right? The way that the prophet explains it. But her faith was like, look, he don't have to pray for me. He don't have to lay hands on me. If I could just get a close, I ain't got to yank on it. If I could just get enough close enough to just touch it, I'm going to be all right. That's faith. That faith pressing through the crowd, right, and getting the job done. Watch this. He said, God's power is limited to your faith in it. I'm going to tell you something. God's power ain't got no limits. We just don't have no faith. Right? We don't really have faith. A lot of what we have is maybe intellectual faith or hoping or something of that nature. But God's power has no limits. That's probably hard for us to really comprehend. But it doesn't. Right? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many believe that? That's the theme of everything that we've been taught. God does not change. There's still enough power in this word to create a world and go live on it. It ain't changed, but I mean, it's just our faith, right? Watch this. He says, see, that's the only thing, that's the only, let me back up. God's power is limited to your faith in it. See, that's the only limit it has is your faith. And if he says all things are possible to them that will believe it, there's a great God in heaven, and if we could only get in contact like a direct line to him, all things are possible. It's you see how important just genuine faith is.
what kept in Mark 19 his disciples from accomplishing the thing that was put before them? Unbelief. Unbelief. Right? Because if they would have been walking in a realm of perfect faith, really understanding who they were and what they were supposed to be accomplishing, that wouldn't have stood before them, right? This young boy with the epilepsy or whatever he was going through, that would have been nothing. But it was unbelief, right? And you see why by the word we have to deal with subjects, right? To push out all of the unbelief in our life, that we could walk in this realm of real, genuine, perfect faith, right? Because that's the only, you know what? That's the only thing that hinders the power of God from moving in our life. I hear brothers and sometimes even preachers talking about, you know, like, man, ain't nothing going on around the church and this and that. And it's like, we just don't understand. That's all it is. That's all it is. And it just comes down to a point. If by the word we can get all of the doubt and all of the negative and really understand who we are and who he is and what's supposed to be taking place, all things is possible, right? Then what seems like the impossibles will be made possible. But it's going to be through faith, not hope, not emotions. See, one thing about the prophet always taught us, faith has to have a resting place, and that's on his word, right? You got to have something that you base faith on, and that's the word of God, the promise of the word of God. When I'm telling you, church, as we grow and really mature and get beyond, like, you know, the prophet, he talks about the jet plane or the airplane. You know, he says, you know, it has to get up there, and then it has to, you know, get beyond the sound barrier. And once it gets there, then it's unlimited in its speed and everything. And that's the same thing with us. We got to get to a place where we get beyond, you know, and I'll read you the quote. We talks about denominationalism and creed, and just get beyond all of that stuff and get ourselves into a place where all things is possible. See, living in a world where, look, all things are possible to the believer, right? When I look at Christ and Christ's ministry, I realize something, church, that he lived in a world of perfect faith where all things was possible. He wasn't moved by what was going on around him. He just knew that, man, all things are possible. Man, you know, he had a wedding, right? And all of the wine gone. And the mother and them say, well, Jesus, you know, man, they done drunk all the wine around here. Just go get me some pots and fill them up with water. Right? Come on. Show me anybody that ever done it like that. Right? What probably to the carnal mind. Now you know the Bible don't record everything, right? But you kind of could. Maybe if you walk in a realm of spirituality, like, wait a minute, a pot of water, pots of water, where, how in the world? But I mean, he lived in such a realm of possibility, right? Normally, now, I don't know, I ain't never made no wine, I ain't never made no buck or nothing, none of the other, but I'm quite sure that they have to start out with some grapes and some different things, you know, in order to achieve wine, apples, grapes, or something. I mean, I ain't never heard of anybody starting out with water. But Jesus, I get happy when I start talking about this stuff, huh? I mean, you're talking about processes. You know, wine has to go through a process. You got to grow the grapes and, I mean, plant the seed and allow it to grow and pick them and wash them. And back then they had to mash them and all of that kind of stuff. He bypassed all of that. Look at the realm of faith. Go get me some pots and water. I believe he was just all calm and cool and collected. And he probably had some naysayers around, some doubters. But he didn't live in their realm. Right? Go get me some water pots and everything. And you know, they come back and Jesus prayed over it. And when they drunk it, they like, man, wait a minute, wait a minute. I could imagine their minds being totally blown away. Like, wait a minute. Where y'all was hiding this stuff from? Where y'all was hiding? What, the water? What was the water? I mean, that's what they started out with. It was better than the stuff that they had. But, I mean, to them that was impossible, but to him that was possible. To produce something on a level that was beyond the call of mind, beyond the process and everything else. Man, when I think about that, it's like, Lord have mercy. Wish I could have been there. But spiritually, I'd be there sometime. I'd be just as drunk and feeling good. And Lord help us. But look at the just the realm, and you say, why are you saying this? Because I think we live so far beneath where God wants us to live, right? And I mean, you know, I try to bring a balance at church a lot of times, the natural and the spiritual. We don't want to be just so heavenly minded that we ain't no earthly good, right? We got to live here in the natural. And I know a lot of time people say, oh, that's just Pentecostal. Well, you got to eat like the Pentecostals. You need petrol in your car like the Pentecostals. You need jobs like the Pentecostals. Come on. And I mean, with the way the statistics are going, they're saying, you know, students coming out of college now can't find jobs. Right? They go to college all these years and get out and can't find jobs. Well, you know, if you're living in a realm of possibilities, right? Unlimited possibilities. You go to school, realize when I get out, I got a job. I don't know about the next person. I'm living in a whole nother realm, right? It's like I didn't go to school all of these years to come out and just be sitting home somewhere, you know. I set my sights on something. I went to school, and when I get out, there will be a job there. Regardless of what they're saying, faith don't know no limits. See, faith don't look at that. Faith look at the promise. I promise to supply your needs. See? You see, faith don't know limits. Right? And that's still creative power. I was telling the church when I preached this at home a few weeks ago, I was telling them about, I remember the time my sister-in-law Trina. Y'all done heard the testimony here. How before she went to Georgia, how God created for her a job. You go there one time and they tell you, well, we don't have no jobs. And then a few days later they call you. Huh? Y'all don't believe that, do y'all? I remember back some years ago, Brother Sean, before he got his master's degree and all of that kind of stuff, he desired a job. He was tired of Winn-Dixie, and he desired a better job. And he went and filled out an application for the school system to be a counselor and everything. Well, when he first went, he didn't get the job. Somebody else got the job. Well, he just served a different kind of God. He just had faith. He wasn't discouraged or anything. A couple of days later, he got a call. See? You see, faith don't look at that. We get turned down one time, we get discouraged. Well, just maybe it wasn't meant for me. Maybe it wasn't. See? But if it was ever revealed to you that this belongs to me, then you don't, well, they turned me down, but that's my job. Huh? I mean, think about all of the things that people accomplished that appeared to be impossible in scripture, but was made possible through faith. You think about Shamgar. I mean, faith was powerful. When genuine faith really rises up, it accomplishes things to the natural mind that seems impossible. It makes it possible. That a man could see giants. Armed men, you know, coming to town that once was taking your grocery and bullying you and everything else, and something raises up and say, boy, I'm tired of this. And then you take something dry, something that really in the natural didn't look like it could even accomplish nothing. Right? And you grab this axe goat and you jump out there, one man against 600. Huh? And this ain't like the movies. Huh? You know, in the movies, you know, you ever look at the karate movie? And the karate guy, it just seemed like he beaten 20 guys. Well, they're only coming at him one at a time. You ever notice that? Well, maybe y'all didn't. I guess if Caleb was here, he probably understand a little bit better. They don't be charging him. They be sitting back, and one guy running there, he get kicked down. Then the other, he get kicked down and beat up. And then the other. And then all of a sudden, you look like 20 guys has been beat up by one guy. That was staged. That was staged. But when you're in a real battle, when all of these guys, I don't believe they were coming at him one at a time. But I just believe, amen, the power of God was upon him. and faith and confidence and being seed of Abraham, when it was all said and done, he walked out of that thing like, oh, boy, I tell you what, we got him. We won't have to worry about this no more. But how was it accomplished? It was accomplished in faith, right? It was accomplished in faith. See, faith don't know no limits. See, this is the thing, and you say, why you say that? Because we're going to need it. We're going to need it because the world is squeezing us, right? The world is squeezing us. The pressure is squeezing us. And you're going to have a faith that knows no limits. It don't know any limits. It's limitless to what we can do in faith, right? Amen. He says some people want to limit that faith to a creed. You can't, because he ain't identified in no creed, right? Some want to limit it to a denomination. But I say this upon the authority of God's word. There is no limit to the faith of God that he has left for his church. Because he said all things are possible to them that believe. It's not limited. Do we believe that? We live, you know, even me, we live so beneath where we're supposed to be at as believers, right? Because we allow things around us to limit us. Right? To limit us. But he says, it real faith, it don't know no limits. There's no limits to the faith in the faith of God that he left for his church. Are we the church? Or there's another one coming. Right? I think this is talking about us. Right? Because he said, all things are possible to them that believe. It's not limited. It's not limited. All things are possible. And I think that's how God wants us to live, in a realm of unlimited possibilities. All things is possible. Through faith, we can conquer anything. Anything. Right? Amen. I believe that. You know, what time is it? I still got time, right? About what? About 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. I try to encourage the church, encourage the young generation, encourage my children. I want my children to live in a realm where all things is possible. Right? No matter how it look. One of my sons was saying, I think it was last night, he was at the table, and he kind of discouraged because, you know, he look at Justin, right? Justin got a job by just being there. He was working with me one day, and the guy that I was working for is a friend of mine, and I was like, just to show you how God works. God had him to be there at the right time, the right season. He was only 15 at the time, 14, going on 15. He was getting ready to have a birthday. That's what it was. And I was talking about that. He said, well, you know, when I get my office, I'll get a guy a job. But, you know, he was also faithful. And you know, Justin been working for a few years now on the job, doing pretty good. And so, you know, Andrew, just being himself, you know, work going around. Andrew be involved in so much stuff, I can't even keep up with Andrew. So many clubs and stuff. All I look like, it's like, is Andrew home? Every time I turn around, my wife like, I got to take Andrew here. I got to take her around. Whatever. Okay. That's Andrew. And just being who he is, you know, somebody offered him a job. Well, somebody was leaving, you know, but, you know, also it's just his faithfulness too, right? Walking in a realm of faith, right? And being in the right place and God moving on his behalf. Somebody, he didn't have to go looking for a job. Somebody offered him a job. And so now his brother like, they so lucky. It's like, no, it has nothing to do with luck. It has to do with walking in a realm of faith and understanding who you are as a child of God. The opportunities are there. Right? The opportunities are there. But for, you know, this young generation, like I try to, you know, tell them, I want, you know, for my young people at the church to do things that I didn't do and accomplish things that I didn't accomplish. Right? But it's got to be accomplished through faith. Well, the doors are open. The doors are open. But you can't be negative and positive at the same time. Right? You either got to be positive, walking in a realm of faith where all things is possible, or you're going to be negative and sit around griping and grumbling and looking, right? You can't do them at the same time. Right? You just gotta get an understanding about what you're trying to achieve and move towards it. And when you get there in faith, the doors are gonna be open. I believe that's the realm that God wants us to live in. How many can say amen to that? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, I've preached on things of this nature and you know, certain churches, and they look at you funny. they look at you kind of funny, like, you know, we're supposed to, it's like, who says so? Simple, down, and, you know, non-prosperous. It's like, man, I don't know where y'all get that from. I wouldn't talk that. You know, I remember, you know, at one time, you know, ministry was a little nonchalant and everything. It's like, you know, you're spiritual if you're driving a Beetle. Something you got to stay connected to the tow truck people. I mean, it's like, man, ain't that spiritual about me breaking down? There's nothing spiritual about me. All the time on speed dial, it's me again. They know your voice. Right? Look, I like this. It takes the same faith to ask God for small things as it does big things. And you know what? We get limited because of education, because of what we see and all that, that we be afraid to ask God for big things. I like, I've been of late, you know, listening to this. Well, I haven't, but my wife have, and I just kind of been hearing it on the side. This guy, Les Brown. The man is a multi-millionaire with no college degree, and traveling around the world giving lectures on prosperity and everything without a college degree. Started out in the worst of neighborhood in Miami, poor, watching his mother struggle and clean floors on her knees with arthritis knees and all of that. And something raised up in him and say, there's going to come a time, mama, well, you ain't going to have to do nothing but sit back and let me take care of you. Right? He wasn't limited. Well, you know, I don't have an education. He didn't allow that to stop him. He got something stuck within him. Boy, there's coming a time when mama is not going to have to do this no more. That propelled him. That motivated, that kept him going. Seeing his mother, right? That kind of faith don't know no limits. What's education got to do with it? Education. My grandmother never, I mean, one of them maybe went to seventh grade. One might have went to fourth grade, fifth grade. But my daddy and mama, she raised her children in a nice house with a maybe fifth, sixth, seventh grade education. Her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. No education. None. But there was a drive in her. And some wisdom to know how to save some money and do some stuff. Right? So it don't... I believe now this generation needs a little education. But there will be the different ones that'll succeed without education. Without a whole lot of education. I try to push my kids. But I realize, you know what? All of them may not go to college. But, you know, I'll tell them like this. You know, when you go on a job and you get to working and stuff, just don't be satisfied as a laborer. Don't get satisfied as a laborer. I was telling little Kayla, I said, Kayla, you know, you got ambitions to maybe one day be a manager of the company. Why stop there? Why not say, you know what, one of the day, I'm going to own one or two of these? Huh? Well, it's getting late, Brother Smiley. Keep playing potatoes. See, you know, we get, you know, and this is how they program us. This is how they program us to get an education, to go on somebody's job and make somebody else rich. They don't program you that to tell you that you can get rich. Now y'all probably say, "Oh, Brother Smiley." Well, y'all forgive me, Brother Jack coming back. But it's how I preach to my church, right? It's like I want to see folks succeed, be successful, not be limited. Right? Not go on a job and be limited. Go in there and say, you know what? I'm going to be running this Fortune 500 company. I ain't going to be the bottom. Live in a realm of all things is possible. What seems like is impossible becomes possible. Don't y'all think it's possible for some of these young sisters and brothers to run companies? Own companies. I'm crazy like that. I'm crazy like that. Nobody taught me that. They taught me to be a laborer. Just get a job. Go to school and get a job. Right? Just work for somebody. And you frustrated every day because you got somebody on your back. Instead of being the boss. You being the head honcho, right? They didn't tell us that. You could own your own company. You could be a businessman. You could have multiple businesses. Well, while I'm alive, I'm going to tell that to the young people. Get a greater vision. Get a greater vision. All things is possible. Don't you believe that, Sister Sandy? Right? All things is possible. I don't know, you know, I don't know what y'all doing and whatever, but I mean, man, go in there and say, you know what? Man, I ain't gonna be satisfied just answering phones. Hello, may I help you? Be satisfied. Somebody beep beep. Mrs. Duff, you have a phone call. That sounds better to me. Sitting in your plush office, not sitting in your cubicle. Huh? Sitting in your plush office and you get a beep beep. Yes. Mrs. Duff. You have a phone call. Right? Okay, put them through. Don't that sound good? Don't that sound like you? Man, I tell you, Lord have mercy. I'll be thinking like, Lord, you know, I ain't too old. I just turn a corner, put me in another position. You know, you know, we gotta train our children to think different. Right? Because college just think they train you. My wife can testify to this: to get a job, get a good job. Okay, what's a good job? When you're gonna be the one signing the checks? That look better than me, right? That looks a whole lot better than me. I'm signing the checks. I ain't just got a job. They want to put a limit. Not just like the devil. He want to keep limits on us. The world want to do that. They want to limit. And that used to frustrate me so much in drywall. Because, you know, when I was a little bit stronger, man, I was a go-getter, boy. I was a hustler. Man, I'd be trying to work here and there and everywhere with everybody. And the guys used to come because they know that the potential was there, so they want to keep you down. They used to think I just fell off a boat. Will, I can keep you busy. I can keep you busy. They make sure they want you to really catch that I part. Like saying, don't you work for nobody else but me. It's like, I can't keep me busy because I want to keep me down. I only want me to make this. They got, because see, in their mind, they got a cap, a little limit, right? For everybody, for all the cultures and everything, they got a limit. If you're this, you can only make this amount of money. If you're this, you can only make this amount of money. If you this, you can make a little bit more, and on and so on and so on. I hope y'all following me. Y'all young people, y'all with me? I don't have to spell it all out for you. Okay. That's true. Watch life. Watch life. But you don't want nobody putting no limits on you. Right? Look, man, we sons and daughters of the King. We are sons and daughters. God promised to bless us. And it's just having faith, getting this realm, somebody telling you this stuff, right? You can go further than where you at. But it's going to take faith. And you can't look at where you at. You got to look at where you're going. You got to see yourself going further. Young people, and this wasn't even on my notes. I didn't think about saying none of this earlier today. Don't allow society to limit you. Right? That's okay. Look, man, enjoy seeing them 4, 5, 6 Mercedes being out in the parking lot. Being identified with Spirit and Truth, and maybe a Jag and a Rolls Royce. It'll be all right. I ain't gonna hate. I might just say, man, drop me off them keys if I ain't got them. Let me say, yeah, they be right. But I ain't gonna hate. Y'all don't think like that. I think y'all ain't scared, are y'all? Man. I know Sister Carl don't mind me saying this. Sister Carl shouldn't be the only one in here with a Mercedes Benz. She the example. I know even at my church when I talk like this, they be looking at me all crazy. But it's like, you know what? I remember when Bible Truth Tabernacle was pulling up and get out and push, and but somebody, we ain't going to make it. And then after a while, all you saw was nice cars in the parking lot. Nice cars in the parking lot. I mean, one time, I don't know why I'm preaching this like this, but I'm going to keep preaching until my time up. And my time is up, but I'm going to give Brother Mike his 2 or 3 minutes, you know. Brother Mike, my buddy. Man, I tell you, I remember me and Sister Gina had got married, and we had decent cars. She had the Mitsubishi, and I wrecked my car, and then we got the Corolla. And we started having chilling, and y'all, you know, and we had graduated to vans, and I had my nephew and all of that. And I remember that, I'm like, man, this Corolla is getting old. We put a lot of miles on it, traveling back and forth. I'm like, boy, we got to get us a van. And just something struck me. And we were standing in a townhouse, and our landlord sold cars. So something said, man, go talk to the man and see what he can do. And I went out there. Boy, he showed me this nice Winstar. Told me to drive it home and let your wife see it. Drove it home. Since Gina saw that thing, yeah, get it. She was grinning, get it. Went back. We ended up getting it and drove it to church. Where everybody, what a nice. Even the pastor was like, what a nice. He had old Dodge back then. A couple of weeks later, he had one like mine. Then we had a preacher from out of town, but that thing was nice. Winstar was nice back then. Well, white with blue trimming, clean. Preacher walked out. That's your car? Yes, sir. It's mine. Lord bless me. Man, I tell you, Brother Smiley, boy, I've been preaching all these years, and the Lord ain't blessed me with nothing like this. I say, maybe you ain't got the same kind of faith that I got. Because faith got me that one. And every time I've needed one, faith has got me another one and another one and another one and another one. And faith going to get me some of the other stuff that I'm desiring. Right? Because faith don't know no limits. Faith don't know limits. We look at limits and say, I can't. Look at them giants in the land. God say, the land yours. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's yours. Right? It's church, young people, don't be limited. Don't let society limit you. Get some big goals. Be ambitious. People tell you, boy, that's really ambitious. They be trying to knock you down. Yeah, it is. But faith don't know no limits. Faith don't know no impossible. Faith says all things is possible. All things are possible. I like being identified with folk, man on the move, folk that got stuff. It motivates you. It motivates you to, you know, Lord, you know, I ain't hating on them, but, you know, come on. Faith, you know, look, church, we serve a real God. We serve a big God. Don't make God, the God in your life, small. We serve a big God, a God that's capable. Your faith just limits God. That's all. Amen. And you know, I just want for the Church of the Living God. You know, sometimes I hear Brother Jack, he testify, you know, he be saying, well, Brother Smiley, you know, man, I would love to be able to just preach only. Y'all got quiet just then. Huh? Wouldn't it be a blessing if everybody had $100,000, $200,000 jobs? Well, Brother Jack wouldn't have to do nothing but preach. One of the brothers told me, and the devil fought him too. Bought him a truck and said, Brother Smiley, man, I want my business to blow up, man, so you don't have to work. I don't want to see my pastor work. The devil got in his truck. Said the devil's a lying holder. Don't lose the vision. Right? Don't lose the vision. That'll be, man, a blessing. Sometimes I'll be sitting around like, Lord, you know, if I was a bigger church with more money, I could do more things for folk. We could do more things for the community. Right? We ain't no different than T.D. Jakes and none of them. They started out little. It just took faith and vision and look at where they at now. I mean, we ain't talking about compromising on the word and all that kind of stuff. I ain't talking about none of that. But there's a lot that we can accomplish, right? But it just take vision. It just take faith, because it don't know no, ain't no limits. No limits. Don't be limited. My God. I don't know about y'all. I like nice stuff. That musicians come. I like nice stuff. Nice cars. Nice clothes. I like to eat good. I want to do. You say, boy, Brother Smiley. Yep. I want to do more. I want to have more. Not just for me. I got a little wife over there. Want to be able to travel. I like to see her looking nice. I like to see her riding in nice cars and a bigger house, right? Amen. God promised. Amen. That ain't too hard for God. Huh? Amen. That's not too hard for God. God promised to give me the desires of my heart. So let me tell y'all how crazy I am, and then I'm going to let y'all go. I'm a strange person. I'm unusual. Y'all probably know that by now. Look, man. I might be a penny at a day. I'll be right out here looking at Rolls Royces. Huh? That's just, some days I just get on the internet and be looking like, Lord, man, that's a nice looking car. Man, I look good, me and my wife riding that. Y'all don't think so? Brother Smiley, they'll boot you out the message. Boot me on out. Huh? Yeah. You're like, man, you know what? Denomination, you watch denomination in churches. They'll go out and get they pastor one.
Drop him off the key. It's yours. We won't, folks around the message, they won't hardly even give you a special day. Hell, he don't need no pastor's anniversary. Get that man or nothing.
I think that's a blessing y'all gave y'all pastor Tripp. That you know, God will bless you for that. God will bless y'all finances, your health, and everything for those little gestures that you do. And them little gestures are turning into big thing. When more members come and more money come and stuff like that. You ought not preach like that. Brother Smiley, I don't know about y'all, but I don't like being broke. Come on. Do y'all like having lint in y'all pocket? Huh? Well, this need to be preached like this. Like Creflo say, more money, more money, more money. Money coming. I know that's reality, y'all, that, but I just, you know, I gotta, you know, I do this at home periodically because I know certain people are trained a certain way. Trained a certain way. Like, man, look at here. I'm trying to train my children up and young people, man, be something, own businesses, have something, and all of that kind of stuff. We all reap the rewards, you know? We take trips together, do stuff together. Man, God, my God. I tell you, I'm a Christian, but hey, you know, the blessings ain't just for the folks on TV. You know? And then this crazy. It's crazy. Well, I tell you what, we got the message. We so blessed, and we can't hardly get to church. Get out there and you go out there and you ain't nothing deep and special about that at all. Nothing. Ain't nothing deep and special about that at all. Ain't nothing blessed about that at all. It's true. So I pray that y'all was encouraged in some way. It's all in faith. Faith don't know no limits. And you know, you just have to preach these things like this, man. You know, share a little desire. Because if we get there as a church, then, you know, your pastor can come home. He can spend more time at the school, spend more time doing other things, right? Pastoring is not an easy task. It takes a lot, you know, and you working and having to run and this and that. So, and I, one thing I do know about Brother Jack, he's a giver. Brother Jack is a giver. I know y'all do y'all part, but I guarantee you y'all don't give as much as he do. I let me leave that alone. This ain't my church, but it's the truth. Because I know at home, folks do their part, but it's just the heart of a pastor, right? But they just go above and beyond, and God bless them for it. So, you know, one day, I mean, it might be 2 millionaires in here. We don't know. And that's all it takes. Brother Jack can come off the job. God. Let's give God a hand of praise. We're gonna have a word of prayer. We're not here to offend anybody or nothing like that. I don't know how y'all get it, but I'm not here.
But I know y'all do the best that you can. But I just want to encourage y'all, encourage us in faith. I need encouragement in faith. There's things that I have from the Lord. And I believe I'm going to get everything that God has for me. The things that I desire, God promised me. If I don't get them, I know he's still able to give them to me. But I'm looking for God to give me another house and give me some more vehicles. He blessed me with one, but I ain't just satisfied with that. And I don't know how it's going to come, through what avenue, but it's coming. it is coming. I think we've been faithful, and it's coming. Nice house. My wife always said she wanted a big kitchen. She could cook, you know, and do a thing. So, you don't know, might have a chef up in there cooking for us every now and then. Let us stand. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Robles. But I've enjoyed y'all these couple of services, and I pray in some small way that we've been able to be a blessing to y'all. Just remember Brother Jacknum this week. I'm quite sure they'll be home. And Brother Burrow's thing, and we're looking forward to that this week. And I want to remember my Tillman, that God will just, you know, heal that spot in her face, that she can, you know, get out and be able to come to church. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks and praise. Lord, you know, these little thoughts like this, it seems simple, but there's a depth to it. If we could just get everything cleared out and just really get into a place that we only believe all things are possible, regardless of what's before us, regardless of what the eyes see, the ears hear, whatever. We get beyond that and know that all things is possible. There's no limits to you, to your power, to your word, see ourselves, Lord, what we're supposed to be doing as a church. Lord, you know, there's greatness in this building tonight. There's talents. There's greatness. And, you know, folk just need to get a vision. And you could take something so simple and so small and it just blow up, Lord, beyond our imagination, but it'll all be done in faith. Sometimes we take look at our lives and feel like that we don't have much going, but we don't realize little is much in the hand of Almighty God. And so we ask that, Father God, that you just continue to bless us, keep us encouraged. Let us not, you know, just be limited, but live in a realm of possibility. All things is possible. We just thank you. We praise you, O God, tonight. We appreciate the opportunity. We ask that you just bless Brother Tillman. I want to remember Brother Willingham. The enemy just kind of attacked his body today. But Lord, you know, by faith, he'll walk his daughter down the aisle. Devil's a liar. We rebuke the adversary in the name of Jesus. When I think about all that he's gone through over the years and just stood with integrity and everything, and right at this point, the enemy would strike his body. May he raise up out of that hospital, talking normal, walking normal, walk his daughter down the aisle, Father God. As a proud father, she kept herself all of these years. And Lord God, the enemy would love to just take that opportunity from him. The devil's a liar. Lord, we thank you.
We praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.